Thank you for a period like this. Thank you for sending your son on our behalf. He that knew no sin became a sinner. He that was not a criminal was turned a criminal, even that he was crucified. We are grateful that he could bear that gruesome death on the cross. Even that he promised us that he was going to rise, and he did rose on the third day. Thank you. Because in this, our faith and trust in you has been established. Through all of this, he brought unto us salvation. We are grateful. And Father, even as we go now to share about this again and again, please let your Holy Spirit that you left with us when you ascended give us greater understanding of the message this morning in the name of Jesus. And I pray unto you, even as the preacher and the hearer, that you help us to continue to grow in you, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face here on earth, we will always remember that you are alive and that you are with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brethren. And again, thank you. Please, let's quickly open our Bible to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and we will share the word of God from there. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Just as he said will happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Verse 8. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
The title of our message this morning is Jesus Met Them. Jesus met them. When we meet with people, we always have reasons to do so. Maybe you want to meet with them to interact, possibly to study, to pray, to eat, to talk, not gossip. or possibly to even go for a party. So there are so many reasons that we meet with people. At times it could even be for business. So there's always a reason when you meet with people. And the Bible told us in verse 9 of that passage that we read, after that Jesus Christ has risen, that Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. It is my prayer that this morning, as we go through this message quickly together, Jesus will meet with someone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The question is, why would Jesus want to meet with them even after the resurrection? And who are these people that Jesus met with? Is Jesus still meeting with people today? Has he met with you? Or will you allow him to meet with you? These are excellent questions, and they are very profound questions. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will help us to be able to answer and understand some of these questions this morning in the name of Jesus. Why would Jesus want to meet with them even after his resurrection? This is a meeting that Jesus himself took the initiative, because he knew these disciples have been with me for over 3 years. And suddenly I've been cut off from them. And suddenly they are confused. Suddenly they are discouraged. In fact, some of them even said it in their account in the scripture, because they were looking unto him as their Messiah, as their king. How come he just left us like this suddenly? So Jesus decided to take it upon himself to meet with them. And in this meeting with them, he was the one searching for them. Those of us that were at the Bible study on Wednesday, you remember, we said, even after his resurrection, he appears to so many categories of people, about 14 different categories of people at different times. Why was Jesus doing all of this? Because this has always been Jesus' attitude to us. He's the one always seeking for us. He's the one always wanting to have fellowship with us. And that is one of the things we should have at the back of our mind, even at this time that we are celebrating his resurrection, that he's always seeking and searching for us. If we will not allow him to find us, if we will not allow him to see us, then we will be rubbishing all that he has gone through the crucifixion, the cross, and even the burial, the death, and the resurrection. Why would Jesus Christ be searching for them? Because that is his attitude. He's always coming to help us and to assure us of his presence. So he still wants them to know, yes, I've gone through all of that. I've been buried, but I'm alive and I'm still with you. I don't know what you are going through now. I know the whole world is going through a turbulent time. But for us that are in Christ, he is alive, he's with us. Therefore, let us not be confused or overwhelmed with fear. Lord God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why would Jesus want to meet with them? Because they are his friends. They are his friends. You know, when you meet with friends, you have a heart-to-heart talk. when you meet with friends, there's that bonding, there's that fellowship. So he still wants to assure them that I'm still in fellowship with you. Regardless of the persecution that you are going to go through, regardless of the fear that has come upon you, regardless of disappointment that some of you may be thinking you are having, I am still your friend. I am here with you. And when you look at this meeting that Jesus Christ had with them, it was one-on-one. It is quite different from that he had with Saul. When you read in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, in Acts chapter 1 to 9, Jesus was not meeting directly with Saul one-on-one. Jesus revealed himself. Because Saul was asking, when Jesus asked him, why are you persecuting me? Jesus said, you are persecuting me. When you persecute the church, you are persecuting me. So Jesus revealed himself. He did not meet with him. But in this case, it was a meeting of one-on-one. And if you look at that verse 9, the Bible said he greeted them. They held him. They worshiped him. So it was one-on-one meeting. So they saw him. They had him. And when he greeted them, and this is a lesson for us that I want us to grasp here, brethren. The Bible says Jesus greeted them, which is still a sign of that humility he demonstrated to them even when he was here on earth. He greeted them. Not that he just began to start giving or dishing out instructions to them. It is my prayer that Jesus will meet with you even as we celebrate this resurrection in Jesus' name. He is alive. The next question is, who are these people? Who are these people that he met? Even from the passage we read from verses 1 to 8, you will see that the name of Mary Magdalene was well mentioned. Mary, the mother of, the Bible says, another Mary was mentioned. There are a lot of women that Jesus Christ met even in the course of this appearance. But let's quickly, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8. Let's look at the account of his meeting there. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 to 8. I'm going to quickly read this. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, that is talking to us today, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcome it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures say. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures say. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. We notice that in that passage, Jesus Christ equally saw so many of his apostles, so many of his disciples. So we want to continue in this message, even as we quickly look at some of these people that Jesus Christ met with. What really happened? What really transpired between them and our Lord Jesus Christ? And the first person I want us to look at is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. If you read the account of our own experience as given in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, we see here is Mary Magdalene that we know was overwhelmed with grief, which later on turned to joy. Those of us that are familiar with the Bible, we know that this is Mary Magdalene that Jesus had earlier on cast out demons from. I can imagine how she felt when she got to the tomb, trying to go and dress the body of his master who has rescued her, and suddenly the master was gone, and the body was gone. But glory be to God that Jesus Christ met with them. I mean, when Jesus Christ met with her and other women that was at the tomb. And this is a lesson for us, brethren, that no matter what we are going through now, if we are in Christ, as long as it's with us, every of the pain, every of the grief that we may be having will be turned into joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know even the time we live in now is a difficult time. Many people are grieving, many people have lost their job, many people, it's like, what is the hope for us? And I want to believe this was the situation of these women. After they've gone to the tomb, they couldn't even find the body. And that was why Jesus Christ needed to appear to them. I need to go and give them support. I need to go and give them comfort. I need to let them know that I am still with them and their joy is still there. And it's my prayer, even if you have reasons to think things have gone wrong, Jesus is with you and everything will be made right in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
So as Christians, we have the most glorious soul because death has been conquered. The grave has been overcome. And heaven has been opened unto all believers. But that is if you have allowed Jesus Christ to meet with you. And that is why as Christians, we need not be overcome by fear. I know there are so many things that are being circulated that can create panic, fear into people. I'm not saying the reality is not on ground, but for us that are in Him, we must be assured that death has been overcome and that the grave has no power over us because Jesus Christ is alive and is risen in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We equally saw in that passage that I read that he met with some of these disciples. Some of them became very fearful, but even in their fear, peace was restored, joy was restored. Again, if we read from that John chapter 20, verses 19 to 20, let's quickly look at that again. John 20, verses 19 to 20. We see. John 20:19-20. Jesus appears to his disciples again. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and he declared, "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. It is my prayer that you will be filled with joy, even this season, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
These were disciples that have been with him. Even after they knew he's been killed, he's been buried, the fear was still on them that, oh, they will come after us as his followers. Even like so many people now, they think once you say you are a Christian, they take offense, they come after you, wanting you to to be unhappy. Don't let anyone rob you of your peace that has been given to you by Christ Jesus. That was why Jesus Christ had to appear with them. The Bible said they were not behind us. That is to tell you the extent to which fear has gripped their hearts. But Jesus Christ needed to meet with them, to reassure them that I am with you. Don't be fearful of these Jewish leaders. I've told you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus Christ is saying to someone this morning, regardless of what you might be going through, don't be fearful. He will never leave you nor forsake you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So it was natural for these disciples to be fearful because he is being crucified. I want to believe they will be thinking, what will happen to us now? Maybe they will now start killing us. And that was why even at the point he was being crucified, at the time he was being nailed to the cross, we discovered that some of them were even denying him. Not that they wanted to do that, because they were fearful. But glory be to God that Jesus Christ knew that it is time for me now to meet with them. I don't know the fear that you may be entertaining now. It is my prayer that Jesus will meet with you and take away such fears in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want us to read from Isaiah 40, verses 10 to 11. Isaiah 40, 10 to 11. Sorry, Isaiah 41. I'm reading from verses 10 to 11. The Bible says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. See all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. This is the promise of the Lord unto us, brethren, that we need not to be fearful, we need not be discouraged, because God, through his Son Jesus Christ, is there to strengthen us and will help us even at this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Again, we notice that our Lord Jesus Christ still appeared to even people that are his followers. On the road to Emmaus, remember the story of those two disciples that were going. They were discussing, and Jesus had to meet with them too. These are disciples, followers like us today, who are confused. They were even asking our Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you part of what is going on now? Aren't you living here? Haven't you heard the story of how our master has been taken? And you are still asking us. We are now so discouraged, we are so disappointed, we are so sad. We thought he's going to be with us for long. Like many people now, they may have lost their loved one with what is going on in the world, and they are sad and they are disappointed. Some are even annoyed even with government of nations now. Maybe they have not acted the way they expected, or they have acted the way they do not expect. So this was the situation of these disciples at that time too. But I'm bringing good news to someone who might be in this category, or maybe you know of a family that is in this category, that if they have met with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is even with them now, even in the crisis or in the pain they may be going through now. So this was the case for these disciples too. I want us to read Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read from verses 15 to 21. Luke 24, We are reading from verses 15 to 21. Amen.
Amen.
This is talking about those two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hope he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Hallelujah. When you look at verse 21, their statement clearly opened what was going up in their heart. He said, "We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel." I know many people might be saying, "Oh," even some people are even saying it now. I would say it is in their confused hearts too, saying that God will have unleashed this unto the world. Even much as I believe God is a faithful God, much as I believe that God may want to draw the attention of the world to himself, I still want to believe that it is our sinful nature that has brought this about. And if God is using this to draw us to himself, it is still because he loves us. So don't let our heart be confused. He loves us. He wants our attention. But will you allow him to meet with you? Even with all of this, many people will still say there is no God. But I pray that God will still continue to have mercy on them, because the grace that we are enjoying with God, even though it's every day, it is for a season. It is for a season in that if someone should die today, grace has disappeared. And this is why we cannot delay ourselves not allowing Jesus Christ to meet with us. So these individuals that were on their way discussing amongst themselves, Jesus appeared to them. They didn't even know. But glory be to God that he told them that he is still on the throne and he is alive. They thought they had hope, and their hope is still alive. And for us that are listening this morning, we still have hope and our hope is alive. Like I said, many of us, there are things you may have planned, you wanted to do between, I mean, since last month and now, even to the end of the year, that is looking like it won't happen. The hope is still alive. Just key in with Jesus. It will bring every of our desire to pass to the glory of his name in Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. In that passage, I still want us to read verses 28 to 32. You know, even after Christ has revealed himself to them, they were asking him to follow them because it was getting dark, that he should come and have a rest. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it, Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why were they able to know that it was Jesus Christ? Because they have been with me, with him. They knew the things he used to do, even before he eats. For those who are still doubting the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think this is even enough for proof that he went with them to their house. They prepared him food. As he would normally do, he gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to them. Because that is what he's always doing. In other words, what Jesus Christ is doing when he was here on earth, he's still doing it for us now. After he has even resurrected, he's even doing more. When he was here on earth, everybody knew he was healing, he was going about doing miracles. He was healing all manners of sicknesses. He was praying for us. He even taught us how we pray. Even now that he has resurrected, he has ascended unto the right hand of his Father. He's still there, interceding for us. And this is why we have our hope. This is why we should not be given in to fear, even at this time. It is my prayer that he will continue to meet with us at the point of our knees in the name of Jesus. He is alive. And lastly, let's look at the case of Thomas, who could not believe without evidence until Jesus appeared to him. Amen.
Amen.
You see his own account in John 20:21-29. I won't be going to read that passage again because of time. We all knew, and we still have people like Thomas today. We won't believe until we see the evidence. But glory be to God, Jesus Christ appeared unto him. Thomas, touch this place. Can you feel the hollow of my body where the nail was driven? It was then Thomas believed that indeed it was Jesus that has appeared to him, meeting with him again, even that his unbelief changed. His mindset about resurrection changed. I don't know if you are still out there, you are still thinking these are mere stories. You need to have a rethink like Thomas. You need to have a rethink that our Lord Jesus Christ is still out to save us, and he still wants to save you. That is his mission. That was why he went to that cross. It is my prayer you allow him to meet with you even this day in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And lastly, we saw the case of even the disciples who are falling, who are backsliding. When you read in John chapter 21, how he met with them again. Remember, I was telling Peter, thou lovest me, 3 times. For him to be convinced. And Peter was saying, yes. He said, if truly you love me, even now that I've resurrected and I've appeared to you, I've come to encourage you, continue to feed my sheep. Continue to feed my lamb. Brethren, I don't know if you're in a state of backsliding now, or if you think you are failing or you are discouraged for whatever reason, please, don't backslide. Jesus is with you. He's always ready to meet with you at the point of your needs if you will allow him to do so. It's my prayer as we go in the course of the week, celebrating the power of the resurrection, that the Lord Jesus Christ will meet with us even more than ever before in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is out to meet with us. His reasons of meeting with us is to continue to show us that this is his attitude. He's always out to help us. His reason of wanting to meet with us is to be able to take away our fears and to prove that indeed he is a friend that sticks more than any earthly friend. I pray that we will not reject his invitation to meet with us in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
This is the essence of his resurrection. If you will value it and cherish it, please allow him to meet with you. May the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the end of the message, and God bless you for listening.